Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3.
Philadelphia.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Live and local from Philadelphia.
Free speech lives here.
Here. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And away we go, live on this Friday, April 12th. It is indeed Kale and Company right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We are always live on the free Odyssey app and, of course, streaming live for your video viewing pleasure on YouTube as we head until 10 o'clock this morning, 855-839-1210, the phone number, on social media at 1210 WPHT. I am at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. Sean Farish in for Dawn today. Anthony Dorenzo, Phil Omquist, our associate producers. Stocker has the morning off on an action-packed Friday morning. Sean Farish, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing so well. I'm so happy to be here again on a Friday. Last Friday was a blast. I've been hearing about it all week. You know, I heard the ratings were tremendous, Nick. I heard they were really good. And that's all because of you. You know that because you're a tremendous guy. I have to say that. And I'm happy to tell everybody in the Philadelphia area and watching all over the world on YouTube, my wife and I survived the eclipse.
Oh.
I was told it was going to be, oh, man. Oh, but listen, I'm a space geek nerd whole thing.
Uh-huh.
If we don't hear about that 1,000 times this morning from me, I don't know, I just can't stop talking about it. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. And so many people were like, oh, you're going to die if you go out there and watch it. And I was like, no, I'm not. And if I do, at least I'm going to see it. Then I'll go, you know, be with the big guy, you know, not the 10% big guy, but it was the coolest thing ever. We survived. It was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to have some fun on this Friday.
Were you in the path of totality by chance?
I was in the total path. Nobody could see the path. You know, I have to tell you that because what happened? No, I'm not the path. Chris Christie's the path of totality. I have to say that. So Christie's back in the presidential race because he got out and eclipsed the sun. Oh. And, you know, listen, my wife's been telling this joke all week. How does the moon cut its hair? Eclipse it. Listen, it's so fun. I was in the path. We drove from Tennessee to Indiana, and there were a lot of people on the road because everyone wanted to be in the path of this thing.
Yep.
It was so much fun. I was wearing my glasses. My wife was too, because you can't look at Chris Christie without glasses. And it was so much fun. Just so
sloppy
much fun.
Chris Christie.
Yes, indeed. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun here for these next 4 hours. Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, we'll talk to Jake Crane from the Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro's site. He's He does sports for the Daily Wire, but he's a conservative. He's a Republican. We'll talk to him about a variety of issues coming up in hour number four. We've got a big take on O.J. Simpson, the White House's response to the death of O.J. Simpson, COVID, Fauci, Rand Paul, bird flu, no taxes as a form of reparations. We've got a Planet Fitness update. Dorenzo's got the cut sheet. It will be absolutely loaded. Shout out to everybody last night for Pints in Politics with Dom and Rand Paul. I was unable to make it last second, but I heard it was a massive success.
Yeah, I ended up going and filling in for you, so... It was great.
So you did make it.
Yeah, I did.
Wait, filling in for me. I was supposed to say.
They wanted Dan and I to do the intro because Eoli wasn't going to be there. You were going to be there, and we promoted our podcast. Brought Dom out.
Right,
it was fun.
So how long were you on a microphone for? 38 seconds?
About like 2 minutes around there. Which it was cool though. I went to that school. I went to Bucks in Newtown, so it was kind of full circle moment. It was fun.
All right, very good.
Yeah.
So we'll get to all of that this morning. And we look, if this show devolves into 4 hours of O.J. Simpson, I mean, I'm not against it. I love talking about this case. I love talking about this story. And I think this is just one of those things that it encompasses so many aspects of life. So we will get to that this morning. We're not going to do news this morning, correct? You're not doing news, right? Oh, you are doing news.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Very good. Let's get right to it here. 6:05 on Friday morning. Time for the last big take of the week.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
All right. The Big Take this morning brought to you by Budget Blinds. The juice bites the dust. You know, O.J. Simpson is one of the most notorious and infamous names in the history of the United States of America. From winning the Heisman Trophy at USC to being a legendary running back in the NFL to Hollywood star in movies such as Naked Gun to being an NFL commentator for NBC to the last 30 years of his life. From his acquittal in the trial of the century to being found liable in civil court to going to prison for stealing his own memorabilia to his final days in Las Vegas, O.J. Simpson encompassed media, the criminal justice system, police, celebrity status, sports icon, race, all wrapped into one lifetime. And that life ended yesterday at the age of 76. Here was ESPN SportsCenter breaking the news yesterday. Listen and watch this.
Breaking news here in a sports center. Orenthal James Simpson, the former football great who was ultimately accused of and then acquitted of the brutal 1994 murders of his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman, has died, according to his family. O.J. Simpson was 76 years old. They posted this on social media on April 10th. Our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and his grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, end quote. That was a statement again posted from his family on social media.
And there were rumors and reports that Simpson was in hospice care in early 2024, but Simpson dispelled that story in one of his last posts in February. Simpson hadn't posted on Twitter since February around the Super Bowl. And as we all know and remember, in June of 1994, almost 30 years ago, O.J. Simpson was accused of and charged with the murder of his ex-wife, Nicole Brown, and her friend, Ron Goldman. As a 10-year-old, I remember the entire case vividly. I recall the famous Bronco chase with Al Cowlings driving the white Ford Bronco in L.A. on the interstate as O.J. was in the back seat with a gun to his head. I remember Bob Costas from NBC Sports cutting into the 1994 NBA Finals between the New York Knicks and the Houston Rockets and going to the news coverage of the highway chase. And we, of course, remember the trial of the century. Judge Lance Ito, Marsha Clark, and Christopher Darden representing the state of California, and the Dream Team consisting of Johnny Cochran, Robert Shapiro, F. Lee Bailey, Alan Dershowitz, still alive today, and Robert Kardashian, as well as LAPD officer Mark Furman. And it's been 30 years since that trial. Countless documentaries were produced, books were written, and the nation obsessed over the case. It was tabloid material for years. But in reality, it was one of the most open and shut cases anybody has ever seen. Having read and watched almost anything I could get my hands on, it was so obvious that O.J. Simpson got away with murder. And probably 90% or more of America would agree. But this case wasn't about the facts. It wasn't about the evidence. It wasn't about the rule of law. This case was about racism, police misconduct, fresh off of the Rodney King beatings and riots in L.A. And in my personal opinion, this was a make good for past wrongs. And I've been told and raised on the notion that two wrongs don't make a right. But that's what we had. Johnny Cochran played the race card. Feelings were involved, facts were ignored, and O.J. was found not guilty. And of course, Mark Furman was a racist. The tapes prove that. But O.J. Simpson still did it, and we all know it. And Christopher Darden, assistant district attorney under Marsha Clark, made a major, major no-no. He had O.J. try the glove on. You never do a demonstration in a court, much less ask a question that you don't know the answer to. And he got baited and goaded into making O.J. try that glove on. And we remember the famous phrase, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. It was prosecutorial malpractice. But now the question for some becomes, what is the legacy of O.J. Simpson? For me, it's very simple. He was a killer that got off the hook. Well, ESPN's Jeremy Schapp was asked that question on SportsCenter yesterday as a man who covered a lot of this. Here's what he said. Listen and watch.
And I was there in Chicago at the O'Hare Plaza Hotel, which is where he had stayed when this was going on. And there were, I believe it was Detective Sergeant Bert Looper who was running the investigation at that point in Chicago. And I remember being with Lester Munson of Sports Illustrated, standing in the fields around the O'Hare Plaza Hotel as the police were searching for the murder weapon. And what that moment was like, that O.J. Simpson, in a moment, had gone from being this hero, and he was a hero, to a murder suspect. It was unlike anything else, you know, that I've experienced in my lifetime, that America has witnessed really in the last half century. And I think we have to keep in perspective here, yes, he was acquitted. But anyone who has seriously looked at the evidence, anyone who saw Ezra Edelman's, you know, brilliant film for ESPN about O.J. Simpson would have to come to the conclusion that he was a murderer. And so am I filled with sorrow today? I'm not.
O.J. Simpson killed those two people. O.J. Simpson got away with murder. O.J. Simpson was an awful human being. Murderer, wife beater, domestic nightmare, verbal abuse, physical abuse, drug and alcohol abuse. And that was 1994. Today, it's 2024, and 30 years has passed, and identity politics has been reignited in this country over the last 4 years. I want you to think about this. Our nation has made tremendous strides in many areas, but Democrats, post-George Floyd over the last 4 years, have basically tried to take us back in time to 1994, and even way before that, if we're being honest. They make everything about race, everything about oppression, marginalized groups, gender, sexuality, defunding the police, etc. And that's what the O.J. Simpson case was about. It was race. It was also entertainment. It was crime. It was sports. It was Hollywood. It was an identity politics smorgasbord. Instead of judging O.J. Simpson on the character or lack thereof, he was judged based on cosmetics, optics, and things that were not entirely relevant to the case. And fast forward to 2024, and it's on repeat yet again. The left doesn't want to evaluate you based on your ability, your integrity, your diversity of thought, or your merit. They want to promote you and elevate you or dismiss you and deplatform you based on what ideology you subscribe to, if any, what boxes you check off, and make everything about identity politics. So have we learned anything since the O.J. trial? Have we learned anything since the 50s or 60s? If you look at the O.J. Simpson trial and today's Democratic Party, you can see that the more things change, the more they stay the same. I believe when O.J. Simpson got arrested in Las Vegas and sentenced to 33 years in prison, it was poetic justice. It was also a market correction for his acquittal in criminal court and his failure to pay the majority of his civil court judgment. To this day, he still owes the Goldman family, now that he has passed away, $100 million. And Simpson only served about 9 of those 33 years. But as the famed running back and celebrity has passed away, I can say with clear conviction, He was an amazing athlete. He was also an incredible entertainer. But at the end of the day, that man was a total scumbag and the killer of his children's mother. And you can separate the artist from the person. I believe that. You can appreciate or like somebody's music or movies or sports accomplishments and then also realize that that guy, no, he's a fraud. And make no mistake about it, the person was the real O.J. Simpson, not the one we saw on a football field or on our television screens. Good riddance, Juice. You won't be missed. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, Big Take this morning brought to you by Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shade, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Check them out online at budgetblinds.com. We'll come back, and we'll have some OJ discussion. I'm sure Sean has plenty of thoughts. Anthony and Phil, if you got thoughts on OJ, you can jump in as well. And, of course, the audience, 855-839-1210, on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, in the YouTube chat, it's the Kale and Company comment community. Just go to youtube.com/@1210WPHT and hit the like and subscribe buttons. Friday edition, Kale and Company. Sean is in for Dawn, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210WPHT.
Don't let woke win. Follow 1210WPHT on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
.622 Welcome back in, Kale and Company. It's a Friday morning. Sean Farish in for Dawn Stensland here on Talk Radio 1210WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. The number one story of the day yesterday, O.J. Simpson passing away at the age of 76. And we are talking about it this morning, 855-839-1210. Sean Farish, your thoughts on what I believe was the number one story yesterday in the United States of America. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a controversial take on it. I kind of, and I don't mean to like take away from the hype and the discussion, because there's definitely a discussion to be had, but I was never like enveloped by the O.J. Simpson thing. I was probably too young when the trial was going on. I'm born in 91. I know the verdict was in 95. And so, I agree with your big take, right? The guy was a scumbag. He obviously wasn't this, morally upstanding human being. I don't look, to people, athletes, entertainers, et cetera, like for their morals, but murder's a little different. Mm-hmm. I heard he died yesterday. The memes are hilarious. I'll tell you what, the content, my friend sent me a picture of orange juice with an expiration date of April 11th. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world. Yeah. And I was looking at it and I was just like, oh, I get it. OJ expired on April 11th. Uh-huh. And, here's the thing. What you could take out of your big take this morning, right, was that 30 years ago, they tried the same garbage that works now in public for public perception, which is race. You can't convict him because he's a black guy and you're just trying to put him in jail because of race and et cetera, because of his notoriety. It's the same stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was 30 years ago that they did it.
Yep.
And they still do it now. Look at the story. Was it out of Chicago? The dude fired, a couple shots at police, and he was they're like, oh, well, they fired 96 shots. Isn't that excessive? Well, I would say, yeah, it's excessive for a traffic stop if he didn't shoot first. Like, if you don't want to die in altercation with police, how about don't fire a gun at them? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing as you saw on Michael Brown, Freddie Gray, Baltimore. I remember all these cases. If you don't want to die in police custody, or you don't want to die as a result of an interaction with police, how about don't try and steal their gun? Don't resist arrest. If you're truly innocent, you'll have your day in court, because I think many people in the country believe OJ was guilty.
Oh, yeah.
He had his day in court and he was acquitted. Right. Yeah. So, I think if we've learned nothing from the O.J. Simpson trial, it's that identity politics, and it's 30 years later, is still alive and very well. And for anybody who wants to preserve the legacy of, let's say, a Dr. Martin Luther King, who says I had a dream, right? The whole dream. I wrote that speech for him, by the way. I had a dream speech. I have many dreams. They're beautiful dreams, talented dreams. Judge people based on their character, content of character, not the color of their skin. Like, can we get back to that? Mm-hmm. Maybe honor his legacy instead of, you know, the legacy of race baiters everywhere. That's what I think we should be talking about.
Yep.
They used the exact same tactics 30 years ago that they're using now to do the same thing to people all around the country. And it's shameful. And that's what I take away from this OJ stuff. I didn't care about the guy. He was a Miami Dolphin, I believe, right? And a Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill. I think he was also a 49er for a stretch. Yeah.
The Bills and the Dolphins are two teams I can't stand in the AFC East because I'm a Jet fan. So, you know, whatever, poor me. But, you know, I when he died yesterday, I was like, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't talk about it on my show, but I understand it's a huge thing.
Yep.
I didn't want to give him any time.
I think it's one of those things where you never forget where you were if you were old enough. I think I'm about 6 or 7 years older than you. I'm 40. So I was born in 84 and this happens in 94. And I think this was honestly the first time I ever recall watching the news. I mean, we were getting ready to watch the NBA finals. This happens. They cut into it. And then my mom flips over to CNN. I don't know if it was Larry King or if it was Wolf Blitzer, but I know Larry King was a big thing during the OJ trial, Barbara Walters. So that was like the first news event that I can ever recall. And then there were so many things like along the way, because I wanted to go to school, the law school, and become a lawyer. So I was infatuated with either being a prosecutor or a defense attorney. That got me kind of into all of this stuff. And then you just kind of go back and I watched, you know, the Netflix series, the 10-parter, where I think Cuba Gooding played OJ.
Is that the one with Travolta?
Travolta,
yeah,
played
that was on FX.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it was good. And then ESPN did the Made in America OJ documentary. And
the
that
words
was
for you. Made in America.
Exactly. And it's just sad that 30 years later that we're still seeing the same thing from all of the usual suspects. You know, I made a little bit of a political twist in the Big Take with Democrats doing this, but the media does it. You know, every time you make some great points. If you don't want interaction with police, follow the law. Don't break the law, right?
It's not hard. You know why I've never been shot on a traffic stop? Because I've never shot at a cop before. I've never done it.
Right.
That's why I've never died in a traffic stop. I got stopped last year. We thought our cat was sick. I was speeding to pick up medication. The cop pulls me over. Did you know why I pulled you over? I said, honestly, I don't. He goes, you were going like really, really fast in a 40. And I was like, I'm sorry. My cat's sick. I'm trying to get medicine. You know, he came back, didn't give me a ticket. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I was very kind to the guy. He said, slow down. Have a happy new year. Okay, good. He was looking for drunk drivers. You know, it was, and I clearly wasn't. But like, it's not hard. Yeah. Traffic stops, you can survive them easily if you don't act like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't act like a fool. That's it.
That is correct. And I don't know what I find more embarrassing here 30 years later or 29 years later since he was acquitted and found not guilty in 95. The amount of people out there, and it's a very small percentage. I think probably 95% of people believe he did it. There's a select few out there that think he was truly not guilty. I don't know what's more embarrassing. If you think he was not guilty, or because I've seen people, Mark Lamont Hill, who is a professor, and he's all over social media. You know who he is. He's actually he's Philly born, and he's kind of a troll and a race baiter and a race hustler. He says, yeah, he was guilty, but you know what? He deserved to get off, because I said this was a make good for Rodney King in the Big Take, which I truly believe it was. I don't know what's more embarrassing. Truly believing you think he didn't do it, or, well, he did it, but you know what? The black community deserved one. I'm like, no, two wrongs don't make a right. This guy was guilty as all hell, and he's not the victim, by the way. The two people that he slaughtered are the victims, and the children that had to grow up without their mom.
The whole, you know, the black community got one back. It's like, what is this? Like a makeup call? Home plate umpire called a low strike. So he like called that's a game. Mm-hmm. You know, baseball's a game. And umpires, you know, they could do a better job, but, you know, whatever. You know, that's a game. There is no makeup call in court. Like, it's if he murdered someone, that's what it is. I think you're right, though. The glove thing, you know, like don't. And I think Bongino says this all the time. Like when you're in Congress, when you're asking people questions in these situations where, you know, you're trying to frame a narrative, whether you're trying to, you know, prosecute, never, ever ask a question that you don't know the answer to.
Yep.
And, you know, you can watch the trial. That's what happened. And look, the whole The whole OJ thing, I made a mistake. He never played for the Dolphins. We did play for the Bills. My dad's listening. He texted me. He's like, you didn't play for the Dolphins. All right, listen, I got you.
Bills and 49ers.
Bills and Niners. At the end of the day, you know, he gets a redo, right? He got the mulligan. It's the Masters. He got the mulligan. He got a redo. All right. You know, and then he goes in, what did he steal from himself, or then wound up serving 8 of the 33? Like, the guy couldn't even stay out of prison after he was given an amazing gift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, just go hide. Right. You know, what are you doing?
Right. And then the worst part of all of it is in that civil judgment for Goldman and the family, you know, they're awarded well over, I think, $130 million. And Simpson, for all these years with lawyers and hiding his assets, and then he moves to Florida, and then he's in Vegas, and, you know, not paying off what he owes. And, you know, so, I mean, I'm glad the guy's gone. It was an unbelievable thing to follow. If you're interested in, you know, law and criminal justice, and then you throw in all the X factors. I'll tell you what, the other thing that was a disgrace yesterday is the fact that the White House comes out and they express their condolences on O.J. Simpson's behalf of his death, but no mention from Karine Jean-Pierre, a.k.a. The Binder, on the deaths of Nicole Brown and Ron Goldman. She comes out yesterday at her press briefing and says, quote, our thoughts are with his family during this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones. And I'll say this, quote, I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that, and I'll just leave it there. Don't know if that was intentional or not, or if she's just a space cadet. But I think you can't talk OJ and being a victim or passing away without bringing up the people that he, in all likelihood, did kill. Right? Like, it's
unless
another
you're Karine Jean-Pierre.
Unless you're KJP.
Yeah, because this woman. Let me just okay. This one. There are. I love when I'm called uneducated by Democrats. You know, they're like, "Oh, you uneducated MAGA," and I'm like, "You are the party of Joe Biden." This is a guy who debated, you know, it's debatable, but I think it's pretty clear. Pooped in front of the Pope, right? We know about the story. Tootsie Rolls, we know about. This is Sheila Jackson Lee. Did we hear those comments earlier in the week about the moon made of gas?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding? And she was like, no, I meant the sun. Oh, so you want to live on the sun? Yeah. Is that? So I'm uneducated, but you think we can live on the sun? You know, it's real hot. Why don't you try and do it at night when it's colder on the sun, Sheila Jackson Lee, please. This is, I can't take that, you know, you're like, you can't do this, but you can if you are Karine Jean-Pierre. It's alarming.
Mm-hmm.
The stupidity, the tone deafness, you know. Oh, prices are down. Joe, I just went to the grocery store. I paid 50% more for cheese this week than I did last week. What do you mean prices are down? Even Christie, who hates Trump, is upset because food costs more.
Sloppy.
Let's go.
Chris Christie.
I love that drop, by the way. I love it.
Thank you. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. Yeah, it's just crazy. You know, of course, this administration, they never seem to get the tone right. They're always very tone deaf, and it's they're just a PR disaster in many ways, in many regards.
Always.
But if it was the other way around, and because the Biden administration is all about identity politics, if the killer was white and the victims were black, or if the killer, like OJ, was white and then it was one black female and one white male, you can guarantee there would be a totally different narrative and tone behind that administration yesterday with this story.
Yep,
for sure.
Yep. And actually, going off all that, there's so much on the cut sheet. So this is just totally related to what you guys are saying. So this will be cut three, Phil. Stephanie Alam, I don't know if you guys know her. She was speaking out of LA with CNN on Jake Tapper's show yesterday. And she gives a little bit of insight on what you're saying right now and kind of says, quote unquote, the quiet part out loud. This is cut three, Phil, go.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
All right, so, of course, you got to play that card, right? But I will say this, having watched so many different opinions on the Simpsons story and really his life over these last 25 or 30 years, there's a large segment of the African-American community that doesn't like O.J. Simpson because they say that O.J. Simpson, who grew up in tough times, in poverty, his mom struggled to pay the bills, that once O.J. made it, right, as a celebrity, as a pro football player, moved the Brentwood, California gated community, that he kind of turned his back on the neighborhood he grew up on, the friends that he was around, and he kind of big-timed him and shut him out. So I don't think, even though there are some that were happy he got away with it, there's a lot in the black community that are like, now he's a sellout and he's a fraud, and they were not fans to begin with as well.
You see that Stephanie Elam clip, by the way, for anybody watching on YouTube, you could land a plane on that woman's forehead. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
That was like, that was holy. I looked at, that's all I was staring at, was a five head, actually. It's huge.
Did she get a squash? I didn't even know. I mean, I got a melon myself, so I got to be careful what throws I throw.
Nick, that doesn't compare to what I just saw on that. It was like wide open spaces, man. It's unbelievable. I have a question for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
If Bernie Sanders is around, because this is a guy, O.J. Simpson, made a lot of money in his life, owed millions, never paid it. Whatever happened to, you know, the rich have to pay their fair share? Where is that? Where's the criticism there?
Yeah.
Of course not. Right. Of course not. You can't do it. You know, I have a listener also. He's listening in Philly.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, compare it to Scott Peterson, who was convicted on, you know, some circumstantial evidence.
Yep.
I mean, it's different, you know, two-tier justice system.
Yeah.
You know, so it's more of the same.
A lot of those cases come out of California as well. I'm glad you brought up Scott Peterson. That's another one.
Wasn't Casey Anthony out of California too?
Casey Anthony, Scott Peterson, the Menendezes. Aaron Hernandez was not, but there's some speaking of internet gifts and memes yesterday, there was one where you see Tom Brady, if you recall, about 15 years ago when Brady was sitting in court, I think over Deflategate or something, and he spins around in his chair and turns his head back
and smiles.
And he's smiling because he sees somebody coming in that he knows. And all the memes on social media were saying that's Aaron Hernandez smiling and seeing OJ show up to hell.
I saw a meme. It was terrible. I said, it's a, don't worry, OJ, it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's a dry heat. Yes.
It's like, oh, that's brutal. The memes, I got to tell you, the memes were just out of this world on OJ. It's out of this world. The content was tremendous, you know?
Yes.
It was great.
All right, let's wrap up the segment here with a call, 855-839-1210. We have Ed, who is in Delran. By the way, Sean, Ed is a big, big, big Joe Biden fan. Ed, good morning. How are you, pal?
Oh, please don't make me sick before I eat breakfast. Okay. So let me tell you something. How the heck can anybody even remotely say they want to vote for Joe Biden? First off, the guy lies every time he says something. He makes up stories all the time. And on top of this, okay, his border policy is a mess. His domestic policy is a mess. His foreign policy is a mess. I'm a big fan, man. If you want somebody to destroy the country and take it like down like the Titanic,
he's your guy.
Let's vote for Joe Biden.
Right. Exactly.
Ed, you missed one thing that's a mess, too. Joe Biden's diaper is also a mess, okay? Especially when he's in Rome. You got it.
Hey, so let's put it this way. I love what Greg Gutfeld said one night. He says, hey, here's the captain of the Titanic. Whose picture did he show?
You know the real reason the Titanic sank, right?
Well, yes, of course it's.
It's because Chris Christie was on the ship. That's why it sank. Okay.
855-839-1210. All right, we will come back, and there's some new stuff out there with Rand Paul, Fauci in the world of COVID, and also a little snippet of audio of some of the conversation that was had last night at Pints in Politics with our very own Dom Giordano and Rand Paul at the Zlock Performing Arts Center that Anthony DiRenzo was a part of last night. We'll get to that as we continue. Kale and Company, Sean Farish in for Dawn, and we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
Hey, Clementine.
Yeah!
We know your favorite station is Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
WPHT.
Apparently, most people's voluntary unless you had to get it to work. But I'd say 80-90% of us, we had a choice. 97% of people over 65 took the vaccine. So really, a lot of people took it because they thought, looked like people were dying in my age group, and they took it. Mm-hmm. But then younger people, it's about 5% of five-year-olds have it. I think it ought to be zero. But the thing is I'm more open to it. I would never force anybody on it. But like my in-laws, I told them it was probably the vaccine was less dangerous than the disease. But it depends on the individual.
That is Rand Paul last night as he was with Dom Giordano for Pints in Politics here in Bucks County at the Zlock Performing Arts Center. Welcome back in. Kale and Company on this Friday morning. Sean Farish in for Dawn Stenslin as we continue. And Sean, we've got more news in the world of COVID and also with Rand Paul and Tony Fauci. I saw this yesterday as we were getting some stuff ready for the show. Rand Paul says that he will investigate Dr. Anthony Fauci's, quote, secret trips to the CIA before COVID-19, the top Republican to prove off-the-books visits to the spy agency that questioned the Wuhan lab leak theory. So this is very interesting because we're seeing more and more about this bird flu story. This is starting to move around. We're seeing cases pop up in a variety of states. But I love that. That was a clip, by the way, from last night at Pints in Politics. And that, to me, is a very measured, rational stance that Rand Paul takes, right? Yes. Like he said there, you know, with his in-laws or whoever he was referring to, that COVID probably was a higher risk than the vaccine for the at-risk community. But like when we think about COVID and we think about how we were forced and mandated to do X, Y, and Z, it should have been on a case-by-case basis based on your personal beliefs, choices, and whether or not you were high risk to begin with, older, heavier, a smoker, so forth and so on. But yet we're still talking about this now 4 years later.
Personal responsibility. I mean, that's always been the case, right? Now, I got to tell you, if I had still been in the Northeast where I used to live, I would have been at that event. I love Rand Paul. He is by far my favorite of any of the people in politics.
Agreed.
Right now, even like I love Trump. He's entertaining, but you know, so that's presidential. But in Congress, in the two houses of Congress, Rand Paul's my guy. You know, back to 2016, I was a Rand Paul supporter before I was a Trump supporter. He was my guy, right? I mean, I have Liberty Defined, his father's book. I've got Taking a Stand. I mean, I love this guy because you know what's funny? You mentioned a rational, measured take. And a lot of people will say the things that Rand Paul just said, you know, last night at Pints in Politics. They'll say it now, but they weren't saying that in 2020.
Correct.
Rand Paul is one of these guys where you can go back years and his position hasn't changed, right? Yep. And they did this in the 2016 election cycle. They played clips on the debate stage of people changing their stances, but they never played clips of Rand Paul changing his stance because he rarely does.
Yep.
He takes a very principled constitutional stance. This is a guy, if I was at Pints in Politics, he'd still be there because I'd still be talking his ear off. I love him, his father. This is a guy right there that he's one of the very few, I think, that you can trust in Washington, D.C. right now that actually has our best interests at heart, because he's at the very least just interpreting the Constitution as written and applying it to, you know, to society. Let's not forget Rand Paul in the middle of COVID, in the beginning of COVID, he got it. He recovered. And then because he had antibodies and immunity, he actually volunteered. He's a doctor in the ER in a hospital where he lived. Mm-hmm. Right. So he was actually on the front lines trying to fight it. And people, he doesn't want to wear the mask. He's super smart. He's a doctor. We thought we were supposed to trust the doctors. Mm-hmm. You trust Dr. Jill Biden, who wears severe thunderstorm warning dresses all over the place. You don't trust Rand Paul. Fauci is a disaster. Mm-hmm. And one of Trump's biggest mistakes, love the guy to death, was trusting him and listening to him, because that guy flip-flopped more than like your windshield wipers, you know, on your car. Rand Paul, I encourage him to go as deep as he wants. This guy is at the front of the pack, challenging the COVID narrative, or just really trying to say common sense. I mean, think about COVID for a second, 2020. How many people do you know went nuts over the toilet paper? And I was saying this back then. If you needed 96 rolls of toilet paper for the 15 days to slow the spread, quote unquote, quarantine, your problems were much worse than the China virus. You had a big problem if you needed toilet paper. Either that or you live with, you know, Stacey Abrams. I don't know. Have to go there.
Well, Stacey, I've been told through anonymous sources that Stacey takes big wipes. You know what I'm
saying? She's the beast. That's why I call her the beast of the Southeast. That's why I call her.
You're exactly right. But that's the thing that was so frustrating about guys like Rand Paul coming out and saying what we all believed, or most of us that listened to this show and this station believed, and the left smeared it as radical, as conspiracy theories, ivermectin, all this stuff. Yep. And now that they've come around and they've seen the light, and but they'll never go back and say, okay, we were wrong. Yep. They'll never go back and roll the tape of, remember Leanna Wen from Baltimore? She was plastered all over your TV with, you had Fauci, obviously, you had the COVID death tracker on CNN, you had Sanjay Gupta. Now, he's a doctor, but I mean, he is not even remotely close to an infectious disease or respiratory.
He's an activist now.
Unbelievable. And Leanna Wen had the audacity to say, we should not allow people out of their house if you're not vaccinated. Has she ever been held accountable for that absurd comment?
Well,
what about Rachel Maddow, who said, with every vaccinated person, the disease stops? No, it doesn't. I mean, how does that make any sense? First of all, no, a vaccinated person shouldn't be catching the disease to begin with, or the virus to begin with, because they're what? They're vaccinated, right? That's why I have, you know, like the tuberculosis, the tetanus. Like, I get vaccinated so I don't catch things.
Yep.
We were told, and this is the funny thing, this is the progression with the left. We were told the vaccine is safe and effective. Then it was like, well, you know, breakthrough. Remember? Breakthrough cases.
Yeah.
There were a lot of breakthroughs going on. This is what they continue to do. They did the same thing with critical race theory. They're going to do the same thing with Planet Fitness. I know we're going to get to that.
Yep.
They're like, well, no, you know, there's no critical race theory in schools. Then it's like, well, there is critical race theory in schools, but it's only college. Then it's like, no, it's actually everywhere. You were right. But it's a good thing because we're fighting racism. They're going to do the same thing with Planet Fitness.
Well, they're always shifting the goalposts, right? They're always moving the goalposts.
Yep. Well, and to that point, this is why, I mean, I even said to Rand Paul last night, I said, thank you for being pretty much the only principled politician that I feel like exists. Mm-hmm. Like, all of them almost don't even seem to know what the Constitution or principles are other than him. I don't always agree with Rand Paul, but I know what I'm getting.
He sticks
to the script. He doesn't, as you were both saying, everyone else, they flip-flop mm-hmm. when it's convenient, just because, you know, emotions and their base and whatever, fundraising, whatever they need to do.
Yeah, there's a few guys that have really stood out over the last couple of years, and there's also a lot of others that have been exposed for frauds, but I'm with Sean from the standpoint of Rand Paul. I would throw in Jim Jordan as well. I like Jim Jordan a lot.
Maybe Scott Perry.
Solid. But I also get a kick out of Kennedy in Louisiana.
Yeah, yeah, he's funny.
More so just for the comedic value. There.
He is. He said at one point, I think on Fox News, he said, President Biden, the gas is so expensive, it's cheaper to buy cocaine and run everywhere. And it was before there was cocaine in the White House. That dude is hysterical. He's a little too hawkish on Ukraine, but he's hysterical.
That's a pretty good. Now, have you worked on the Kennedy impression, or is that okay?
I have worked on it. I've tried it. You know, it's basically just a southern accent and then an absurd statement. That's all it is. It's just that's like trying to skin a possum backwards, hanging off the side of a wood chip. Like, it's like, you know, it's whatever. It's just crazy. You could just come up with something crazy and then say it like John Kennedy, and he's probably said it before. As a matter of fact, you know, I was offended. John Kennedy not stole. He probably didn't see it, but he used the same joke that I used in one of my drive-through videos.
Yeah,
he said that we trust Dr. Pepper more than Dr. Fauci, and I actually said that in my video. I went to Arby's, right, and ordered Arby's, like, I want a bacon brisket and beef dip sandwich, and they ran out of horsey sauce. What a shame. And it was my friend's thing. We got like 9 million views in upstate New York doing that.
Horses
and I said we trust Dr. Pepper more than Dr. Fauci, and it was, you know, and then he said it, and everyone's like, oh, it's great. I was like, I wonder where he got that from.
Permission to make a request to Mr. Farish. We need to get you to do a bit where you do like this, like GOP behind closed doors conversation, and you just have like a conversation with three or four other people, and you're going from Trump to Kennedy to anybody else that you're capable of pulling off an impression for. I don't know, Vivek Ramaswamy. You go on down.
I wish I could do Vivek.
That would be unbelievable.
It'd be like Eddie Murphy.
But yeah, and it's funny because I used to do Francesa. It's funny because he's a fat guy. I'm not a fat guy. All right, we're back. Mike's on Francesa on the Fan. So I was doing like Mike Francesa and Donald Trump. You know, I got you elected, okay? I got you elected. No, you didn't. I got you, your job. You know, you're doing great. Now your ratings are better. You used to be the sport. And I would just go back and forth. I would send these messages to friends, and they were like, dude, it sounds like two different people. And I was like, it's just me, and I'm nuts. You know, that's the end of the day. I'm having a conversation with myself in different voices. It doesn't
doesn't get more. I need the small room, big needle than that, you know?
Exactly right. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in. So this exclusive, if you want to check it out on the Daily Mail with Rand Paul, he goes on to say the CIA officially still says that COVID-19 is, quote, probably from animals. We also have stories, rumors, and innuendo that Fauci was a frequent visitor off the books to the CIA. He points to the CIA and how they disagree with the findings from the Department of Energy and the FBI that have said that the pandemic likely originated from a leak at a Wuhan lab. And though the initial CIA assessment found that the lab leak theory was likely, senior officials in the agency overruled their findings because, God forbid, you don't fit with the other agencies. So who do you trust more, the CIA or the FBI? I mean, I think if you still believe that this was from a bat and this jumped, I think you're out of your mind. This was, to me, a man-made virus meant to decrease population and cause havoc on the world. I think most people probably agree with that, Sean.
China. That's China. All I have to say about that. No, China. No, it's so funny. People, my favorite thing, and this was how absurd it was,
yep,
was like, oh, it came from a bat or it came from bat soup. But don't say it came from China because that's racist. And I was like, well, hold on a second. Are you telling me that it had to have come from bat soup? Because bat soup was the theory, which I coined the term. It's bat soup crazy, you know, because it's, if you don't want to curse, you could say that instead, yeah, of, you know, the other one. Yep. Right. So they were like, well, it came from bat soup. And I'm going, well, so, wait a minute. So who eats bat soup? They're like Chinese people. I'm, yeah, like, wait, whoa, whoa. So now I'm racist if I say it comes from China. But you're saying it came from China because Chinese people eat bats. So you're actually stereotyping something that they do, uh-huh, and saying that they're responsible for this whole thing because Chinese people eat bats. So who's the real racist? They're like you. I'm like, how does that make any sense?
Because they said, you know, so. If, that's why.
Yeah. If you believe it came from a bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup, right? I guess they put their little slogan, possibilities. You, yeah, never know when you're going to unleash a pandemic. If you think it came from bat soup still,
yep,
you're out of your mind. Oh, it jumped in a wet market. It did not jump in a wet market. There's a John Stewart. I don't like him.
Yep.
I think it was him. But there was a, he made the best joke. He was like, so you mean to tell me? So if there was a chocolate spill, you guys, yep, in Pennsylvania, you know, down the road from the Hershey's chocolate factory, where do you think it came from? Probably the place called the chocolate factory. There's a lab in Wuhan, China, called the Wuhan Coronavirus Research Lab. And miraculously, a coronavirus started circulating in Wuhan. I don't think it came from some bat. I think it came from that place.
Yep.
Right?
I would agree.
Like and made in a lab, made in China. Like all things that are terrible, made in China.
Exactly.
That's what happened.
All right. Coming up next, we'll kick off hour number two with a Planet Fitness update. Planet Fitness, you guys have a serious problem on your hands. And we're going to have to address this. Nick Kale, Sean Farish, Anthony Dorenzo, Phil Almquist. It's Kale and Company. Dawn's in Italy. Greg's off. And I guess you could say the kids are running the asylum today. We're back after this here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.